G'day and welcome to Conversations on Faith FM with Robbie, Alicia and Brad. This is your place to explore faith, life and everything in between. Text in your thoughts on today's conversation on 0488 185 00. Now, get ready to join the conversation right across Australia, right here on Faith FM. Hey, good afternoon, Australia. How you going? This is Brad, and I'm here with Alicia this afternoon for Conversations. How you going, Alicia?
Good, good. We're a little bit over time today, but we're here, and I think that's the main thing. We made it.
That's what counts, yeah. We had a little bit of a stuff up because the Drive Time show guys have been away this week. They've had some issues with their mixer, kind of stopped working.
Oh, I getcha.
Which is always not a lot of fun, so I've been trying to help them with some technical issues. And in doing so, I was testing stuff on my computer, which we do the streaming from, and I forgot to change stuff back. So the inner workings of radio, you know, very, very exciting stuff. But regardless, you know, yeah, we're a couple of minutes late, but hopefully you got a song or two in there while you were waiting. And we're still stoked to be here with you either way. Hey, we got some exciting news for you, actually. Related to Conversations. And, you know, some of our regular listeners, you've been tuning in very faithfully for a year or so now. It's been over a year, I guess.
Start
of 2023.
Yeah.
You've been tuning in faithfully on Mondays at 2 p.m. or even, you know, I think it was 2:30 when we first started.
At one stage, yeah.
We are actually going to be moving the show. Yes. So you're actually, you know, here's the cool thing. You can think about it in this positive way. We're going to be moving the show to Monday afternoons from 3:30. So that's good because the time lines up with all of the other afternoon shows that we have here on Faith FM, like the Aussie Pastor Live and Looking Up.
Oh, yes, yes.
And Afternoons with Shell. So we're going to be in that same sort of time slot as then. So it means you don't have to tune in early every day to, every week to actually try and catch us.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you want to think about it in an even more positive way, you know, like double the positivity, it means that you're going to get two new episodes of Conversations in under a week. So you're having one today and then you're going to get one next Monday as well.
Yes, yes.
So hopefully, hopefully that's a positive thing, you know, I mean, up to you, I suppose. But if you're tuning in, I'd like to think it would be.
Yeah, yeah. And if we're moving, that means something else must be coming in our place.
Yes.
For all of our listeners, exciting.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about what that is?
Yeah. So we have a kids club that we will be launching next week, I believe. And the time slot for them will be 3:15. So, you know, as a parent, I know how crazy it gets when we do school pickups and, you know, chuck Faith FM on at 3:15, and I'm sure it'll be a good time for you and your children. And we have some cool giveaways, especially for our kids too. So definitely be on the lookout for that next week.
Yeah, nice.
And you can find out more information on our socials and stuff that will be coming up.
Yep. So check out the Faith FM either Facebook or Instagram page for a bit more information about that. Yeah, you know, it's been something we've been wanting to do for a while. Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Just have some kids programs and that sort of thing. And we've been slowly working towards it and getting content from different people and places. And we like to think we've got some good stuff now. So
yes, I'm excited.
So it's going to be weekdays at 3:15 p.m. And we are probably going to be expanding that as we go. Potentially it's going to be running from 3 till 3:30. So before all those afternoon shows that we have here on Faith FM. Because, yeah, we do really want to have some good stuff for kids available on this station. And we've got, you know, we've got little bits. I mean, I don't know if you've heard God's Great Earth with Rich Aguilera. That's a really good show for kids. Cool. If you haven't listened to that one before, make sure you check it out. You can go to the Faith FM website, which is faithfm.com.au. If you go /programs, or if you just find the programs page on there, you'll be able to see a lot of the cool shows that Rich actually does, you know.
Awesome.
I'm not a kid, but I actually really enjoy those as well. They're lots of fun to listen to. So that's one of the exciting things that's coming up. Now that we're in May, you know, it's...
We are!
I know, strike, right? You know, where's the year going?
Wow, I didn't realize.
I've got a mate who has like this counter thing on his phone.
Okay.
And it... It shows the percentage of the year that's already passed.
Oh, no way.
And yeah, so like now he's like, yeah, you know, what is it? We are a third of the way through the year.
Wow. Yeah.
So 33%.
That would freak me out. I don't think I would want to know how.
Well, you know, it might make you go, well, I better make good use of my time.
Do something with my
going quickly. Yeah, yeah. But yes, now that we're in May, it means that June is just around the corner. And I don't know if for some of our listeners last year, you might remember we did, over the month of June, we did an end of financial year giveaway competition.
Yes, yep.
And so we gave away some cool stuff like a Faith FM jacket, some Faith FM mugs and hats. Yep. And guess what? We're going to do it again. But it's going to be bigger and better.
Okay.
Because you know, it's always got to be bigger.
It has to be. We can't do the same.
we'll make it worse. We'll just give away one hat. Just kidding. It's going to be bigger and better. Lots of cool giveaways. We do actually have some Faith FM shirts now. You know, that's something we're working on for a little while. So we're going to have some of those that we'll be able to give away. We're thinking that we might even have a bit of a competition between some of the live shows.
Oh, that'll be good.
Yeah. So, which live show can get the biggest listenership kind of voting in on their behalf.
And then
those shows will have their own special giveaways that, you know, you want to make sure you tune into the breakfast show to potentially get the breakfast show giveaway.
But a friendly competition never hurts.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. The more the better. You know, we love giving away stuff here at Faith FM. As I'm sure a lot of our listeners know, even here on Conversations, we have a good giveaway every single week.
Every week, and that's pretty good.
Yeah. And, you know, like all of our giveaways on the station, sometimes people text in. By the way, if you want to text into Conversations, 0488881850. Oh, you're better. Say it again.
0488881850.
Okay, good. Glad you know what you... I need to get this on big words here so I can just remember it. Too many different numbers going through my head. Some people text us in from time to time saying, oh, yeah, I saw that you're doing a giveaway, so what do I have to do? It's like, well, no, you don't have to do anything. We're the ones who organize to get it sent out to you. You don't have to worry about postage. You don't have to worry about picking it up. We'll make sure you get it.
How convenient, eh?
I know, right?
Well done, Faith FM.
Yeah, well done, Faith FM. Yeah, very convenient. Of course, we're not the ones who are actually delivering them to your door. That's other great people. But we're the ones who give you the chance to get it. So hopefully that's equally as good. So what I wanted to share a little bit about today is something that everybody does.
Okay.
I guess this is kind of a little bit of a riddle to start off with. What is something that everybody does, but they don't think they do?
Oh.
And what is something that everybody is, but most people don't think they are?
Ah.
0488881850. If you can guess the answer to my riddle, we'll give it a few seconds for people to try and figure it out.
Yeah, can you repeat that one more time?
What is something that everybody does, but most people don't think they do? And what is something that everybody is, but most people don't think they are?
Oh, I would not have a clue off the top of my head.
0488 185 00. Surely there's someone out there who's good at riddles or love their riddles.
I might just quickly Google it to see what Google says or ChatGPT. Because I'm such an overthinker. Like it's just going to be in my head until someone texts in and tells us the answer, or until you let us know what it is.
Well, I will. We'll try putting it into ChatGPT. Let's see if ChatGPT solve riddles? That would actually be really interesting. Because to me, like, you know, we talked about AI stuff on this show before, and you kind of talk about, oh, well, you know, with AI, it can't think really for itself. It's just spitting out stuff. But I came up with that riddle on the spot, so it'll have to be something in order to come up with the answer. And that something it will have to be is actually the answer.
Okay. We'll see what it says.
Got a message from Ronald, who's listening in from New Zealand. G'day, Ronald. Thanks for tuning in, mate. We always love having you here on the show with us. And if you've got any ideas as to what the answer to this riddle might be, what is something that everybody does, but most people don't think they do?
Someone texted in, breathe and breathe. Alive.
Breathe and be alive.
Christina texted in.
That's pretty good. But I think most people do think that they do breathe.
Oh, yes, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
So this is something that they don't know that they do.
Well, it's something that most people don't think that they do.
Oh, okay.
And it's something that most people don't think that they are, but they are.
Okay. ChatGPT says,
yeah.
One thing that comes to mind is micro expressions.
Okay.
These are brief, involuntary facial expressions that people make in response to certain emotions.
Okay.
I'm guessing that's not it.
That's not it. That's pretty good, though.
Okay.
Anything else?
That's pretty much all it says.
Okay. Interesting. Interesting. So I guess, you know, with ChatGPT, it's found that some answer from somewhere else on the internet and it's gone, oh, okay, maybe.
Yeah.
Which leads to the point of what the answer actually is. And this is why I thought it'd be interesting to see if an AI thing could figure it out. It's actually creating.
Creating.
So what? Something that everybody does, but most people don't think they do.
Is create.
Yeah. It's something that everybody is, but most people don't think they are, and that's creative.
Wow.
I guess that's kind of two different words. It's two different answers, but it's the same thing, right?
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people, you know, we have this idea of creativity. It's like, oh, well, you know, there's some people who are really creative.
Yes, yeah.
You know, and, you know, they create art or they play musical instruments. And but not me, you know. I'm not creative.
Yeah.
I couldn't do anything like that. And a lot of the time you think of, oh, well, you know, what is it? Now I've forgotten what I've forgotten my own riddle. I've tied myself up. You know, something that everybody does in terms of creating stuff, but most of the time we don't realize we're creating stuff. You know, like I'll sing, for example. I've got like one of my cats at home, and she always meows at me. Whenever she meows at me, I'll sing a random little cat song at her,
which is just like. You.
Completely weird, made-up lyrics, but it's to a tune of some other song that might be in my head or something like
that. Yeah,
yeah. And instinctively, I don't think to myself, oh, I'm creating something, because I'm just going, no, I'm just making up words, and it's to a song that already exists, basically. So that's not creative.
Oh, I got you.
But it is.
I'm trying to think about, like, my everyday life now and the little things that I may create or may not create.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
Okay.
I think it's because, like, how you were saying, it's not something that we think is being creative.
Yeah. Well, that's all right. We've got a song break coming up now, so maybe you can think about
how
the song's going. You're listening to Conversations here this afternoon on Faith FM, where we're going to be talking a bit about creativity, which I think is a really interesting thing to talk about. You're going to hear now Brian Dirksen with Refiner's Fire. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Purify my heart. cleanse me from within. Me from my sin deep within, refiner's fire, my heart's one desire is to be.
You're listening to Conversations on Faith FM. Text in your thoughts on 0488 185 00. That's 0488 185 00. Here we are. Welcome back. You are listening to Conversations on Faith FM. And apologies to our listeners on Facebook and YouTube. We've had some issues with copyright strikes.
Yes, quite a few.
Basically, during our streams, which is pretty annoying. So basically what it means going forward is we need to mute when we play songs, which is a bit frustrating for us as well as you, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But I guess, you know, you can always hear the songs if you go to faithfm.com.au and you listen to the stream there. But unfortunately, that's just something we've got to do going forward because we don't actually want to lose the Faith FM Facebook page because then you won't be able to connect with us at all, which will be even worse.
Exactly.
So it's the lesser of two evils, unfortunately.
Ronald here said, okay, time to be creative when there's no sound.
Yeah, that's right.
Which
you can play your own song. That's right. Just flick on Spotify during the song breaks. And
yes.
Maybe we can put like
we'll
a
we'll tell you what it is.
Yeah.
And then you can search it for it.
We will. That song.
And then play
it. That's right. Well, the song you did hear was Brian Dirksen with Refiner's Fire off his album Today. So there you go. That's what you just heard there on Faith FM. Hope you enjoyed it. And if you didn't hear it, well, yeah, as Alicia said, you're just going to have to look it up.
Yeah.
That's all we can do, unfortunately. just before the break, we mentioned that the topic of conversation for today's conversation is creativity.
Mm.
And we also talked about this idea that a lot of people don't think that they are creative, right?
Yeah.
When we think of, you know, creativity or a creative person, you think of somebody who's a painter.
Yeah, or, like an artist or a performer.
Know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But you know, one of those areas where, you know, people are actually creative all the time, you know, there's a lot of different things that where we are creative every day, because what is creativity? It's doing something new.
Mm.
And a lot of the time, well, we assume that, oh, creativity has to be something completely new to every single person on the planet. It's got to be a new invention or a brand new thing. But that's not actually true. Creativity can actually be in the small things as well.
Okay.
You know, and I was talking to someone about this the other day who's a football player, a soccer player in this case. And we were talking about creativity and he was saying, yeah, you know, you think about the best players in the world, you know, Ronaldo and Messi and they're so creative and it's the creativity that makes them a great player.
Oh, okay.
And I said, well, are you creative when you play? And he said, no, not anything like that.
Oh.
I said, but are you still creative? You know, what are you, do you do new things when you play in order to, you know, to improve?
Yeah.
Or do you try different things when you're playing against a team that has different tactics?
Oh, gotcha.
And he said, well, yeah, no, I actually do. You know, do you try, you know, juggling the ball in different ways or kicking with the outside of your foot instead of the inside? You know, oh, yes, yeah, I do that. You know, is that something that, you know, you're always like, you don't go into a game saying, well, this is exactly what I'm going to do. And if the opponent adjusts and does something different, well, it makes no difference. I'm just going to do the exact same thing the whole time and that's it. Yeah. And he says, well, no, of course not. You know, you've got to change your plans as you go in order to react and respond to things. And the reality is that that is something really creative. You know, you are doing new things in response to something else. You know, whether it's your situation, you know, you might react differently if you're playing a game and you've got 80 minutes on the clock as opposed to you're in the last 5 minutes of the game.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you going to try something new in order to score a goal when, you know, there's a lot of time pressure and it's really important?
Yeah.
He said, yes, of course I would. And I guess this comes back to this idea of what I wanted to talk about before is when it comes to creativity, we are all creative. We might not necessarily see it all the time because of this idea that, you know, we expect creativity to be something big, something, you know, it has to be seen by something many people to be creative.
Christina just quickly messaged in and she said that she has to improvise because she has a shoulder injury and she's having to improvise and do things creatively, like chopping off overhanging tree branches with her left hand instead of like with her right hand. So that's another part of being creative when your usual circumstances change and now you got to think like, oh, okay, now I still need to do this thing, but how can I do it now that things have changed?
I really like that because that brings up a really important point about creativity is that creativity requires some constraints. You know?
Yeah.
how would you put this? Like, let me show you something that I've got here, Alicia. I actually brought this in because I wanted to talk about this a bit today and it ties well to what we're talking about with creativity. Yeah. Let me just grab it. So this here is a board game.
Oh, wow.
It's called Ezra and Nehemiah. And it's actually like a Christian-themed board game or a Jewish-themed board game, whatever. Old Testament-themed board game, there you go. And it focuses around the story of Ezra and Nehemiah, who are both Jewish people in Babylon and then in the Persian Empire, who had this job that they were essentially given from God to return back to Judah and to rebuild Jerusalem and rebuild the temple there. I'm going to hold this up for our Facebook and YouTube listeners so they can see it because it's got some pretty cool art. I know it's reversed. Ooh. Let me move across so you can see it properly. There we go. I know it's reversed in the image there. To our Faith of M listeners, I'm holding up a board game box and she's got some cool art on it.
Cool.
Here, I'll give it to you. You can have a closer look if you like. So I got this. When was it? It was about a week or so ago. And for those people who are interested in board games, maybe you've heard of Kickstarter. You never heard of Kickstarter?
No, I've heard of that
one. So Kickstarter is a website where basically people can sort of pitch an idea.
Oh, wow. You know,
it's a crowdfunding website.
Yeah.
One of the original ones. And, you know, a lot of people do board games and stuff, but the basic idea is you put this idea out into onto a public square, essentially.
Yep.
And you say to people, here's something that I want to create. I've got this great idea. You know, are you willing to be like a funder for it? So, you know, it's not something that already exists, you know. So I need help basically to come up with the money to actually take this idea and move it from idea to a physical thing.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
And in this case, it's, you know, this board game here. The creators' names are Shem Phillips and SJ McDonald. I think, they're based in New Zealand actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The name of the company is Garpil Games, and they've made a few different ones before.
Wow.
But point being, that's something that's really interesting when it comes to this whole idea of creativity, because they're saying, all right, we've got this idea. We're going to put it out there. If people like the idea, they can basically pledge some money towards the creation of it. And so, you know, in this case for a board game, you might say, all right, well, I like the idea of this board game. It seems interesting.
Yeah.
I want to help it be created. So I'm going to pledge $50, for example.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, like the way Kickstarter works is basically, you know, there's an end point for like a campaign for pledges. Mm. And so after a month, for example, let's say enough money is pledged that it reaches the broad goal of, say, you know, let's say it's going to cost $5,000 to have the game created and then, you know, shipped out to everybody and, you know, you receive your copy.
Yeah.
So what you are doing then is, you know, you're contributing to the creation of something. And equally, for the person who is creating the game, they've got to think about a lot of other things in the process.
Yeah.
They got to think about not only, well, does the game have good mechanics? Is it going to be fun to play? Mm. Is it going to be challenging?
Yeah.
Are there going to be opportunities for people to win in different ways, you know, based on the restrictions and the things that change? Equally, they need to think about, well, where am I going to make this? Mm. How am I going to make this?
Yeah.
You know, what pieces can I afford with the certain pledges that are coming in?
Yeah.
Because, you know, you might see with Kickstarter campaigns, people will go, okay, well, if we raise $10,000, this is what it's going to look like. But let's say we raise $15,000, then we can be more creative. Mm, we can try creating fancier pieces for all of the little characters and commission better art for the cards.
Yeah.
And, da, 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 da. And so, you know, there's a financial constraint in this case to how creative you might be able to be.
Yeah.
But at the same time, right, I know personally, if you don't have any constraints, because I've actually created card games over the years.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I'll bring one in maybe to the office next time and I'll show you.
Yeah, yeah.
But the funny thing is, like, if you don't actually have some sort of constraints when it comes to a game, for instance. So let's say, you know, you start playing Uno, very basic game everybody's played before, right?
Yeah, yeah.
What would happen if we said, all right, well, how about we take out the rule about, you know, you can put a matching number down on top of a different one?
Yeah.
So instead of if someone puts down a one and you have a one, you can put that down on top and use it to change the color or whatever. Mm. What if we say, well, let's get rid of that?
Ah, gotcha. That would.
So technically people can be more creative. Yeah. They could go, oh, well, I've got a seven and I'll put that on the one.
Yeah.
But does that actually make the game any good?
I don't think so.
Not really.
It'll be confusing.
Yeah, exactly. It'll get confusing. So the constraints of these rules are actually really beneficial in order for people to be creative.
Oh, okay.
Because if you don't have that constraint, there's nothing that kind of limits you in what you can do.
What you can do, yeah.
You can do literally anything, but you don't really know if it's good or bad anything like that, because it's just, well, I guess this is what it is. And you know, when it comes to designing card games, you've got to think really carefully about how much is left to chance, how much is luck, and how much is player skill and strategy. I know for me, when I'm designing card games, you've really got to balance it out, because if there's not enough chance or luck, people will feel like, oh, well, I've played it once. I know exactly how it works. Why would I want to play it again?
Yeah, it'll be like boring.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But if there's too much, then people feel like, well, it doesn't really matter what I do, because if I get an unlucky hand or something like that, then, well, you know, then I've just instantly, whatever I do doesn't actually matter.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, that's a little bit of a tangent, but it actually comes back to this whole point of creativity, that for creativity to be good and to be purposeful, it is actually important to have some constraints, to have some rules that you're working within that help you understand whether the thing that you are creating or doing is actually good
or not. Yeah.
And when we come back from the next song break, we're going to delve into this a little bit more. Like, creativity is something I'm very passionate about and I've studied a lot and written academic papers about. So, I'm keen to talk about it today.
Awesome.
You're listening to Conversations here on Faith FM. If we are going to go now to a song, we'll hear Ryan Ellis with Perfect Peace. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Faith FM.
Can I go with all the hurt when my whole world is crashing down? What can I do when I can't breathe and all I see are valleys now? And when I find it hard to speak and my heart just won't believe, I feel you standing next to me, next to me. You keep me in perfect peace. You keep me in perfect peace. I'm finding you all I need, God. Keep me in perfect peace. I cast my cares at your feet, knowing you won't let me down. And I will rest where I belong, here with you where I am found. You keep me in perfect peace. You keep me in perfect peace. I'm finding you all I need, God. You keep me in perfect peace. And your love is living. Everything broken made whole in your presence, in your presence. Your love is lifting my home. Your love is healing my soul. Everything
listening to Conversations on Faith FM. You are listening to... Sorry, no, I got our Facebook people back. You are listening to Conversations here on Faith FM. Thank you for sticking around during that song break. You just heard Ryan Ellis with Perfect Peace, a live version of that song, Perfect Peace, live and acoustic. You know how with songs, like they have like the little thing in the bracket after them?
Oh, yes.
It? And it can be like live, acoustic, recorded here. This version, and just keeps going on and on. Yeah, I love those sorts of ones. Today on Conversations, we're talking a bit about creativity. And I actually wanted to throw out the question, because during the break, Alicia and I were talking about Bible-based board games.
Mm.
And I'm really curious to know, you know, we were talking about it because I was sharing that I've actually got my hands on a Bible-based board game that's called Ezra and Nehemiah, which is like a tabletop game based around, you know, Ezra and Nehemiah and Zerubbabel going back from Persia and rebuilding the temple in Jerusalem and the city. And I'm actually really curious, have you got any Bible board games? And are they any good?
Yes, yes, let us know. Because we're sort of on the hunt for Bible board games, you know, my family.
Mm-hmm.
Just as a good pastime for our kids especially.
Yeah.
And some kid-friendly ones too.
Mm.
If you have any, let us know.
I remember when I was growing up, my brothers and I, we actually created a Bible version of Monopoly.
Oh, cool.
So we got, because, you know, like, it was basically that, oh, well, you know, on Sabbath, we don't play board games.
Board games, yeah.
Because, you know, what did we have? We had, like, we had Monopoly.
Mm.
We had, have you ever played Scotland Yard?
No.
Okay. We had a few random games of all sorts, you know, that sort of thing, dominoes, blah, blah, blah. And my brothers and I was like, well, you know, if it's on Sabbath, we want to play a Bible game.
Yeah.
And so we took the whole concept of Monopoly, which is, you know, you have all of the hotels that you can buy and you can build them up and do this and that and the other. And you have chance cards and go to jail and all that sort of thing. And we said to ourselves, right, we want to make a Bible version of this. So we took all of the names of, you know, the different areas and the hotels, and we named them after Jewish tribes and places and all that sort of thing. And the chance cards became temple cards, and community chests became, I don't know, like offerings or something like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, so you'd move around and you'd build up the tribes and places and all that sort of thing. And, probably pretty seriously breaching a lot of copyright, but we weren't selling it. And this was when there was no such thing as Bible Monopoly or anything like that. So
yeah.
I think we still got it. Like, it was all hand-drawn, the random little dodgy drawings of tents and stuff and the temples and all that sort of thing.
That'll be cool to have a look at, like now.
Yeah, I'm sure it might be sitting around somewhere. We used all the little hotel pieces and that sort of thing from our normal Monopoly set for, you know, when you're doing. So all the rules were the same. We just had different names and everything. but interesting, you know, we're talking about creativity today on Conversations. Interestingly though, right, if we didn't have that constraint of saying, well, can't play with the normal version, we would never have actually had the incentive to create something else.
Yes.
And it was the fact that we created it that, for me, made it so important and so memorable to me. As opposed to, you know, the standard Monopoly thing where, you know, well, if I don't really care for Monopoly
just
that
the
much.
Generic, yeah.
Yeah. But something that we made, oh, yeah, I love playing that. And I like showing it to people and inviting them to come and play it as well.
Yes.
So, yeah, you know, I think when we talk about, you know, constraints and creativity, they are definitely two things that fit together, and it's important. Yep. One of the reasons I wanted to talk about this, you know, this whole idea of creativity is that I think as Christians, right, we live in here, like in Australian society or New Zealand or around the world or whatever it might be, and a lot of Christians don't actually create anything.
Oh.
You know, we are creative people, but a lot of the time, a lot of Christians don't actually make things. They don't create, you know, I don't know if you want to call them Christian products or all that sort of thing. You know, obviously the Christian music industry is a big deal.
Yeah.
But for the most part, we actually can just consume a lot of stuff.
Yes.
So a lot of people, you know, think about how many Christian TV shows or movies there are out there compared to, you know, secular ones or non-Christian ones. Like, there's a lot. And why is that when you consider that it's something like, is it 30 or 40% of the world's population professes to be Christian in some way, shape or form? So, you know.
So we're not creating.
A lot of the time we're not actually creating stuff. We're just consuming stuff.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
I wonder why that is. Because we've, like, when you think about, you know, the Christian things that are available to us, like movies and things like that, my partner and I, we're like a clothing, like we make clothing and we print tees and stuff.
Yep.
And just recently we've been thinking about like a Christian clothing label. And I think one of the things that sort of stops us from like being creative or creating is whether it's right or wrong kind of thing. Like sometimes we feel like very, when it comes to pricing and stuff, it's like, is that too much? Or like, is that not enough? Or like, what are we saying about us as Christians?
Yep.
So like, I think that was one of the things that we struggled with, figuring that out. But yeah, that's an interesting thing that you bring up, why there are not a lot of Christian things or products available.
Yeah, it's tricky. You know, I think the things that you raised there are very valid. You know, that whole idea of, you know, when we create stuff, if we are creating it to be reflective of God or representative of God, you know, we feel like, we got to be really sensitive in terms of how do we price this?
Yeah.
You know, how do we reflect God to the world around us?
Yes.
Yeah. And I think this actually ties into like a broader conversation, I guess, about creativity and Christianity and do they fit together? You know, do Christians need to be creative? You know, we talked earlier about this idea that everybody has the capacity to be creative. And in fact, we all do it.
Yeah.
You know, at many points in our life in all sorts of different things.
Yeah.
But I guess I want to touch a little bit on what the Bible says about creativity and creating things.
Yeah.
Because it does actually say quite a bit, and what that means for us today.
Awesome.
So the best place to actually start when it comes to understanding creativity in the Bible is at the very start of the Bible.
Just thinking, yeah.
You know, that's where we hear the most about creating and creation. So how about we go to Book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day.
All right, let's pause there just quickly for one sec. So when it comes to creativity, right, what's the first thing that we see God doing at the very beginning of anything and everything? We know that God is already there. So it says, in the beginning, God. So God's already there,
created
the heavens and the earth. So two things we discover about God straight away.
Yep.
So God was already there. You know, what came before God? Nothing.
Nothing.
He's already there.
Yeah.
What's the first thing that he does?
He creates.
I like that. So he creates the heavens and the earth. What does that specifically mean? You know, a lot of people get into the arguments about this. Is like, so is God creating two specific literal places? Is he creating heaven? Is that referring to the stars and the universe? You know, is it referring to everything that's not earth? Because, you know, at the moment we only have that immediate juxtaposition between heavens and earth. What does it mean?
Yeah.
It doesn't explicitly say at this point, which is okay.
Yeah.
What we do know that does definitely make sense is it says, well, God was there. He created the earth.
Yeah.
Well, the earth is where we are. Okay, cool.
We can
understand that. We can roll with that for now. And I think sometimes, you know, that actually ties into creativity and the creative process as well. Sometimes we don't actually understand every single thing along the way. Sometimes it can be a case of going, well, I want to do this. I'm not quite sure how to get there.
Yeah.
So do I have to understand absolutely everything at the time?
No,
it's okay. All right, let's do the next couple of verses from verse 5, I think it was.
God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening and morning, and there was morning the first day. Verse 6, and God said, let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water. So God made the vault and separated water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. God called the vault sky, and there was evening and there was morning the second day.
Nice. So here we go again. So God's going, all right, I've created something. Mm. All right. And it's good. He says, yep, it's good. I'm going to make something again from what I've already created.
Mm, yep.
So now he's not working with, oh, you know, just creating everything from scratch. He's creating again from what already exists.
On top of what's, oh, yeah. Gotcha. Yep.
So he's saying, all right, so here's what I've got now. All right, what can I create with this? And what can I create that's going to be good?
Mm, yep.
So there's another interesting thing about creativity. It's not necessarily about all the time creating something completely from scratch.
Yeah.
It can be about saying, okay, what have I already got? What am I going to do with this to make it better?
Mm, yeah.
That's creativity. It doesn't, well, again, it doesn't have to be a completely brand new different invention thing. Out yeah. of the blue. Creativity can actually be a smaller step instead of like a colossal earth-shaking, shattering yeah. step.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, you know, even just in this first part of Genesis, we're learning things about creativity, which I like. But we better quickly go to a song. We're going to hear Mercy Me with Word of God Speak. You're listening to Conversations here on Faith FM. Don't forget you can text it at any point on 0488 185 00. We'll be back with you in just a couple of minutes' time.
I'm finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise. All that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet hear your voice. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Would you pour finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay.
You're listening to Conversations on Faith FM. Text in your thoughts on 0488 185 00. That's 0488 185 00. Welcome back. That song you just heard there was Mercy Me with Word of God Speak. I actually think that's a cover of the song because I'm not sure it's quite sounded like Bart Millard singing. But anyway, don't know. I've heard that song many, many times growing up. Like Dad would play it every weekend.
And you
every
know
weekend.
The sound.
Yeah, like you know the timbre of the voice. But yeah, good song and very much tying into what we're talking about at the moment, because we're very much into the Word of God and God speaking and creating stuff. Because today on Conversations, we are talking about creativity and what it means for Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Should Christians be creative people?
Yeah.
Or does it not really matter and we can just consume stuff that other people are creating? Big question there. We are at the moment delving through a bit of the very beginning of the Bible in Genesis chapter 1. And we've seen so far that God exists. You know, the very first thing that we discover is God exists, and he starts making stuff.
Yep.
He starts creating. He's created some things that are, you know, universal in size and importance, right? He's created the heavens and the earth. Oh, wow, amazing, you know, huge, colossal. He goes and he creates light.
Mm.
He says, yeah, okay, I've made this and this is good. Yep. I like this. And then what he starts to do is stuff that's a bit more subtle. So now he's made, you know, the heavens and the earth. He's made light and separated it from the dark. And now he goes, all right, I'm going to do something a bit different. I'm going to start working with what I've got here.
Mm.
And I'm going to be creative with what I have. And so we see the next thing he does, it says that he basically creates, separates the sky from the land, which is interesting. Yeah, that's... If you start to go into the science and the physics of it, it talks, you know, like specifically saying God is creating a vault between the waters to separate water and water. And you go, what on earth does that mean?
Mm.
Like, where's this sky water thing he's talking about? Because he says he creates one that's the sky and one underneath. But when you actually look into the physics of it, there's a lot of water in the sky.
Oh, yes, yes.
A lot of water vapor, and it's actually really important for protecting the earth. From radiation, from space debris, from all sorts of different things. So it's actually something really important. And if we didn't have any water in the sky wouldn't be blue.
That's like a mic drop moment.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it's in the same reason that, for example, at sunset, the reason that we see the sky turn red, for example, is because the light from the sun is technically traveling through a lot more of the Earth's atmosphere to get to our eyes. Instead of coming like directly down, it has to go like across and through.
Oh,
and there's a lot
yes.
more smoke and dust and smog and all that sort of thing, which actually reflects away a lot more of the blue light. So that's why we see a sunset as red instead of blue or some other color.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So anyway.
I never knew that.
Oh, there you go. We'll continue on maybe from verse 9.
And God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear. And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good.
Nice. So again, we're seeing God in this creative process, right?
Mm.
He's focusing, like He's done the big picture thing first.
Yes, yeah.
Like, what's the big idea that I actually want to do here?
Yeah.
And now he's starting to focus more on the finer details.
Mm.
You know, and you may actually find that when it comes to our own creative processes, that's what we think about. What's the big idea? I want to create a board game. Okay. What sort of board game is it going to be? Well, it's going to be a tabletop game. All right, well, then I'm going to need to have a board. I'm going to need to have some pieces. I'm going to need to start thinking about this and that and the other. So you start big and then you slowly refine, basically improving the smaller elements as you go. And, you know, we see God stepping through this creative process and we look at it and go, huh, yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah.
All right, cool. How about we go on, we're up to verse 11. Yep.
Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds, and it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seeds according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds.
Mm.
And God saw that it was good, and there was evening and there was morning the third day.
Nice. So, you know, it's only been a couple of days that God's been doing this over.
Yeah.
But, again, we're seeing this creative process in place. And a creative process is actually working towards an end goal as well, right?
Yep.
We have the initial idea, and we don't actually know necessarily so far why God is doing all of this.
Mm.
We don't know. He hasn't, like, it hasn't been expressed. So God's making the heavens and the earth. Why?
But why? What
is
for?
Is it for something? Yeah, is it for someone?
Mm.
What's the reason for this? Because typically for us, when we have our creative process, we would think to ourselves, all right, I want to do this. Why? Oh, because I like this, or I want to give this thing to someone, or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
But we haven't discovered what God's why is yet.
Oh, I gotcha.
And the why is often the most important part of a creative process.
Mm, yeah.
All right, so we'll continue on. We're up to, is it 16? 14, sorry.
Verse 14.
Yep.
And God said, let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years, and let them be lights in the vaults of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light to the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day.
All right, cool. Now, one thing I didn't actually mention when we were talking about verses 11 and 12, where God is creating, it says, vegetation. So seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seeds in it. So what's the deal with seeds? They also create stuff.
Yeah.
So God is creating things that can be created
again. Yeah,
which is kind of cool. And now, like, the thing I think that is interesting, again, we still don't know why God is doing all this at this point. But we see in verse 14, he says, all right, I'm creating, you know, like, two big lights. I'm creating the sun and the moon in this case. And I'm going to let them serve as signs to mark, it says, sacred times and days and years. And let them be lights in the sky to give light to the earth. Again, why is he doing this?
Yeah.
We still don't necessarily know, but he's saying, let them mark as signs, signs to mark sacred times and days and years. Who needs this information?
We're not sure yet.
Do plants need this information? Well, it can be helpful for plants. Plants definitely need light to grow. Okay. So maybe, you know, so far we're going, okay, well, maybe God is doing this because he likes plants. We still don't really know, but plants don't really need to know sacred times or days.
Or days, anything.
No, that doesn't really make sense. Okay. So as God is refining what he's creating, we still don't actually know why he's doing it yet. But he's refining it bit by bit. And obviously, like for me, I'm looking at this and from the perspective of someone who creates something, going, okay, so he's making it better and better.
He's
refining the different ingredients to whatever this recipe is that he's putting together. It's going to be pretty good. And God even himself is saying, yeah, this is good. I like this.
Yeah,
this is good for whatever the purpose I'm creating for is. What's the purpose yet? Still don't know.
Not yet.
Okay. Let's go verse 20.
And God said, let the water teem with living creatures, and let the sky above the earth across the vault of the sky. And let the birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the water teems and that moves about in it according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in numbers and fill the waters in the seas and let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day.
All right, cool. So here we see another aspect of creativity.
Mm.
So, you know, God's created the heavens and he's filled them up with stuff. He's created plants everywhere, all sorts of interesting things. Now he creates sea life and birds.
And birds.
You know, why do we have this specific order of this is why he creates them here and then? I don't know necessarily.
Not sure.
But he's got an entire ocean to fill stuff up with. And says so he makes great creatures of the sea and then he makes other ones. So there's big creative things and there's small creative things and there's all sorts of different kinds. And God's blessing on these creatures is, okay, I've created you, but I haven't created, you know, like enough of you to fill the whole oceans.
Yeah.
So it's up for you. It's up to you now. Like even the animals God creates in his creation, he says, okay, well, it's up to you to now go out and
create more
and create your habitats in the ocean and, you know, let's see what happens here.
So does he sort of give them the power of creativity to, like how you were saying, create their own habitats and their own families and their own, like all the stuff. I never thought of that when we look at the creation story.
Well, I mean, think about, you know, smart birds like crows, for example, right?
Yeah.
They can figure out how to use sticks and stuff as tools to build fancy nests and dig out worms. And so animals are smart and they're creative too, which is quite unique. And, you know, so we're about to go to another song, so let's not jump to this next bit yet because the next bit's the clincher. But hopefully this is like an interesting kind of discovery of, you know, God's creativity and his creative process and, you know, how he – we often think about God and his creativity as, oh, he does really big amazing things. And, yes, he does. Yeah. But he's also creative in the small things.
Mm.
He pays attention to the finer details. And equally, he doesn't just do everything himself.
Yeah.
He actually provides an opportunity for the things he creates, you know, the plants even to replicate and the animals to find homes and have babies and all sorts of interesting things.
Yep.
So God wants his creation to create as well, which I like. We're going to go to a song now. We're going to hear Mark Bishop with I'm in Good Hands. Pretty appropriate, given what we're talking about. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes' time.
When I feel alone, I'm not really alone. When I feel dismayed, he says, don't be afraid. When the world around me changes like the shifting sands, his word still stands, I'm in good hands. When the nights are long, he sees me through. When it hurts, he says, I've been there too. I like to think that I don't worry, but I sometimes do. Though he never fails to see me through, I know I'm in good hands. When the night is long, when the valley's low, when I'm not that strong upon that cross, the blind and they could see. He made the lame to walk like me, and the very hands that offer hope to the lost are the same hands nailed to that cross. I know I'm in good hands. When the night is long, when the valley's low, when I'm not that strong upon that cross, all my hope still stands, because they were nails scarred for me. I know I'm in good hands. When the night is long, when the valley's low,
welcome back. You just heard there Mark Bishop. You just heard there Mark Bishop with his song I'm in Good Hands from the album A Different Light. Sorry, I said that twice because I forgot to bring us back from muted for our Facebook listeners and YouTube listeners. If you've just tuned in and you don't know why that's happening, well, it's unfortunately because Facebook is trying to hit us with all these copyright strikes for playing music, which we have permission to play.
But you know, Facebook. It's how
Facebook has its own.
How it is.
We love Facebook.
Yes, we do. Yes.
We're saying that so that they don't ban us. Please don't ban us. You are here on Conversations, and we've been having a conversation today about creativity and how, in fact, you know, we all have the capacity to be creative.
Mm.
And why is that? Well, we're exploring a bit in the book of Genesis at the very start, where we see God kind of working through the creative process himself of creating everything, really.
Yep.
Which is pretty cool. But, you know, God also leaves room for his creation itself to be creative, which is kind of neat. We've seen that, you know, with, you know, the plants. He creates plants with the ability to recreate and to spread and to grow. He creates fish for the sea and birds for the sky, but he doesn't fill up the entire sky or the entire ocean. His directive to his creation so far is, okay, I've made you. Now it's up to you to figure out how you fill the ocean and where you're going to live and what places are good. And which is, so, you know, God's intent for his creation appears to be that there's scope for creation to be creative, which is interesting. Can animals be creative? That's a different sort of question. We might answer that later if we have time. But let's keep pushing on. We are in the book of Genesis, and we have just got up to chapter 1, verse 24.
Verse 24, and it says, "And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good."
All right. Cool. Okay. Good. So that's kind of tying in same sort of deal with the other things, like the other living animals, things that God's made. And then we get to something special. We get to verse 26. And I think this is a really beautiful, special thing here when it comes to understanding creativity and God and us.
Yep.
So let's do that. 26.
And it reads, "Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them."
All right. So I really like this because verse 26, a lot of the time, and 27, let's take them together. A lot of the time people look at these and they go, they use these verses for all sorts of funny things. They go, oh, it says, well, it said, God says, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. And then they instinctively just go to verse 27, which says, so God created them in his own image, male and female.
Mm.
And we go, oh, okay, I guess that's what it means to be made in God's image.
Yeah.
Which is true. But what have we just seen God doing, you know, over the last 25 verses? What do we actually understand so far about God's image? What does he do? What is he like?
He's very creative.
He's very creative.
Very. I feel like it shows that he's patient and he's, I like the verses that we were talking about before, how you were saying that he gives his creation the opportunity to create. So he's, it's like he likes giving us opportunities, or like other people opportunities to create as well.
So he
doesn't, like, he could easily just make everything and everyone as is and fill up the sky and the earth and the earth and, you know, the waters. But I think it's a beautiful thing how he just, he didn't, and he let us sort of take that road with him.
Yeah. No, I agree. And, you know, we think about things like, you know, so God has been going through all these different things and he's fine-tuning them and he says, all right, this is good. Yep, all right, I'm going to keep working with this. Okay, this is good. And so far we don't know what's it good for.
Yeah, yeah.
And now we see it here. So God says, all right, I'm going to make mankind, he says, in our image, in our likeness. And again, you know, this is comes back to the triune nature of God, but, you know, we can come back to that at a different time because that's probably a slightly different conversation. Yeah.
Yeah.
But he says, okay, so the purpose of all of these things that I was creating is for these humans that I'm creating, so that they can rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, all the animals, and all the creatures on the ground.
So we see his why.
Yeah, we finally see the why of, you know, why God was creating all these things. And now it suddenly makes sense. You know, even if, like, if you had this flipped on its head and we started out with God saying, I want to create people. I want to, I want to create someone that's like me and give them the opportunity to create like me. Then if we take what we see there in 26 and 27.
Yeah.
And we have that as our why. We have that as our God's big idea. And then we go back through, you know, all those verses from 1 through to 25. We're like, wow. So God was creating that for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. That's cool. And all of these different things. Oh, so he was making the plants for us. Ooh. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Now I'm getting some ideas. And he made the animals for us so that we can take care of them and look after them. And, you know, I think sometimes people get a bit hung up on the idea of Eden as, like, God creates Adam and Eve there and there's nothing for them to do.
Yeah.
Like, the world's perfect. That's it. Yep. Yeah. Okay. Well, done. I guess they were just sitting around eating apples or something. And
yeah. Not much.
Yeah. But in the same way, God actually gives a directive to Adam and Eve. And he says, okay, so be fruitful and increase in number. So that's one of the cool things that God gives to humanity as well, the ability to create new humans.
Yep.
Like, angels don't do that.
Yeah.
Fill the earth, subdue it, rule over it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. I'm giving you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every true tree that has fruit with seed in it, and that's your food. And, you know, and all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the sky and all the creatures that move on the earth, everything that has green life in it, I'm giving them plants to eat. And then God said, God saw all that he had made, and now we have a bit of a distinction as well. Like, everything he'd made so far had been good, but we hadn't understood the why. And God is saying, okay, I've made this. Yep, this is good. We get to the end here, and now God sees all that he's made.
Yeah.
And he says, it's very good. And interestingly, though, right, this is one of the things someone pointed out to me once. They said, God didn't say it was perfect. He said, this is really good.
Yeah.
And I'm stoked because I've made humans now and I put them in this spot and now it's good.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can't wait to see what they're going to do with it. And I think when it comes to God's image and creativity and all that sort of thing, I think there's a very fundamental thing for you and I, for every single person to understand that being made in God's image means that we have the ability to create.
Yep.
And we can create things for our own glory. We can create things to serve ourselves. We can create things to hurt others if we choose to.
Yep.
And unfortunately, a lot of people do that.
Yeah.
We can create weapons. We can create rude posts on social media. We can create emotions, hurt, anger, whatever it might be, sadness.
Yeah, yeah.
But God has also created us with the ability to create things that bless other people. You know, when Jesus talked about the whole purpose of what he describes as the law and the prophets, so everything that God had instructed the Israelite people, the purpose of it was to love God with all our heart, all our soul, all our strength, and to love the people around us as ourselves. And we do that most of the time by creating things. You know, there's the thing of, you know, when you have a neighbor move in next door, what do you do? Well, you make them a pie.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you create something for them.
Yeah.
And there's like time and effort and energy and thought that goes into creating. And there's big picture details, like there's the why of doing it. Well, because I want to be nice to them.
Yeah.
And then there's the fine details as you get closer and closer to the goal and all those sorts of things. So God's creative process is a great creative process for us to follow.
For us, yeah.
Because we look at God's creative process and we see that he wanted to create humanity and bless them and show them his love.
Yeah.
And for us, that's the best sort of creative process we can have. And the why is the really important part. Why am I going to do any of this? Because I'm made in the image of God.
Mm, yeah.
And God creates things to bless and to show love through. So I guess for me, I look at that and say, well, you know, for me as a follower of Jesus, he wants me to create things.
To create, yep.
That's part of his nature. And if I am reflecting God in who I am and what I do, I can create things that give glory to him. I can create things that bless other people.
Yep.
And, you know, and it could be things like, well, I can make a card game and bless people with joy and fun when they do it.
And it can be really simple. Like, things that can be really, really simple.
Yeah.
I know sometimes, like, we talk about creating things and just how we were talking at the beginning of our conversation, and I was like, what are some things I create during the day? And I was just thinking, like, during our breaks and during this whole time, and it's like, I create meals, for example, like for my children or for my family every day. And that's something that we may not think is creative, but in a way it
really is.
It is.
Yeah. And why are you doing it? Because you love your family.
Because I love them.
Yeah. And that's an amazing form of creativity that I think is reflective of God's intent for us.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So, you know, we haven't delved into all of the scientific aspects of creativity on the show today. Like, there's a lot to cover, basically, when we talk about creativity and that sort of thing in the Bible. But I want to basically wrap up with one verse that we find now in the book of Romans. And, you know, it very much ties into what we just talked about before. And this is Paul says, he says, "For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God." And I think when it comes to creating things, we get the most out of it ourselves when we're creating things to bless the people around us.
Yeah. I agree.
So whether you believe in God or not, I guess put that to the test and say, well, do I feel a lot of joy when I'm creating things, and especially for the people around me? Because that's actually a reflection of God's character in you.
Yeah.
We have got a free offer for you today. Man, we didn't even mention
the
whole time through the show. We've been talking about today creativity and God's creative abilities. We want to offer you a DVD that's called The Case for a Creator. You're going to love this one. It's a documentary by an investigative journalist whose name is Lee Strobel. Really cool DVD, The Case for a Creator. If you'd like to get this, no cost to you, all you need to do is pull out your phone right now and text today's code word, which is C0501, that is C0501, to the conversation show number, which is 0488 185 00. So one more time, code word C0501. And text that to the conversation show number 0488 185 00. Thank you for joining us on Conversations today. It's been a lot of fun.
Good.
And we will see you not same time next week.
No.
We will see you next week on Monday.
On Monday.
At 3:30 PM.
At 3:30, yes.
That's gonna be pretty cool. So make sure you text in, get today's free offer. Have a think about creativity and the creative things you do, and reflect on God's creative nature and all the things that he's created for you as well. Awesome.
Cool. Thanks.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to Conversations today. And we'll see you again, not same time next week.
We'll see you in a couple of days.
We'll see you in a couple of days. Bye.